Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you. John chapter 15 today, and starting in chapter 16 today, we'll cover about four verses. So we've got two little verses in 15 and four and 16 that we'll cover. Kind of a little bit of a continuation. Remember, this whole section we've been in talks about this, the upper room discourse, and it's really the secrets of the Savior, the message of the Messiah, or the upper room discourse, whatever you want to call it. But remember, Jesus is in that upper room with 11 disciples at this point, because Judas has left and Satan has entered him, and he's went and sold Jesus out and gone to tell him where he's going to be. And so we see that there's 11 disciples. He washes their feet, and then He begins to tell them all the things they need to know and we need to know to live the Christian life. And so we've seen that He tells them about the Holy Spirit coming, and talks about service and serving and humbling one another and loving one another. And He talks about that the Holy Spirit's role. And the last time we were here, we talked about how He said that the world would, because it hated Jesus, it would hate them also, right? We talked about that, and if they kept his word, they will keep your word. And He talks about how they have no excuse, because He told them the things and they saw the works that He did, and because they did not believe and they didn't receive, then guess what? They are without excuse. The Bible says we're all without excuse. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus says through the Apostle Paul in chapter 1 that we know there's a God because of creation. And we know there's a God in chapter 2 because of conscience. So we know that those things are true. And everybody in the world knows there's a God. They worship something somewhere. And you know, it's a God, He dedicated one half of one verse. One man said to the person who says he doesn't believe, he says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And you know, that verse really could be phrased this way. It really says, "The fool has said in his heart, no God. I don't want a God." And that's what he said. It's sort of like you're sitting in the restaurant and the waitress or waiter comes and says, "Do you want some more tea?" And you say, "No, no, thank you. No." And that's what these people are saying. They don't want a God. They have their own gods, a God of their own making. And we know there's a God because of conscience. Every single person knows there's a God. And so when we get to this section, it says they hated Him without a cause. And so verse 26 to chapter 16, verse 4, we're going to read those. It says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And so when we get to verse 26, he begins to talk about the Holy Spirit again, the helper, the comforter, the paraclete, whatever you want to call him. But remember, the helper is the Holy Spirit, and he's part of the Trinity, and he is a he. It's not a it, it's not a she, it's not anything else, but he is a he, and he's part of the Holy Spirit. And remember, Jesus said, unless I go, the Holy Spirit cannot come, but I will send another just like me. And another means one exactly like Jesus, that he's perfect in every way just like Jesus. And so he says, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify me. Now, when did he send the Holy Spirit? On the day of Pentecost, right? Acts chapter 2. They're in that upper room and they're praying, and the Holy Spirit comes, and there's these tongues of fire set down on each and every one of them, and they speak in all these different languages. I think there was like 16 different languages and dialects. And all these people say, how is this happening, that these people are speaking in our own languages? And we hear them and they say Medes, Parthians, and all kinds of different languages. I don't even remember what they all were, but there's 16 at least different languages and dialects. And so they speak in these tongues, and God gives this confirmation in chapter 8 through the Samaritans. When they receive Christ, what do? They speak in tongues. And then there's another section in chapter 10 that the Gentiles do that. And then there's one more place, and I think in chapter 19, where Paul goes to some of John the Baptist's disciples, and they receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. What John is doing, and what John is doing through his writing, and what Jesus is doing through sending the Holy Spirit, and Paul's writing about, got this down, that what's happening is he's saying all these people are what? Part of the church, right? There's no more Jew, no more Greek, no more male, no more female. That doesn't mean that we don't exist in different roles, but what it means is that we're all equal in the eyes of God. We still have different roles, different responsibilities, but God has included everyone who believes into the church. And he says, he's going to send from the Father. He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And you know what that shows? That shows that Jesus is God, right? But it's a double procession, because he not only comes from the Son who sends him, but he comes from who? The Father. So the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit, and he's called what? The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. And so he's going to come and he's going to speak the truth. And one person called this the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit. But when we look at this section of Scripture, what we see is that it says here, he will testify me. Who's me? Jesus, right? He's going to testify of Jesus, and he's going to do all these things. And I'm hoping and praying all of us here have the Holy Spirit. But how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? And if we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit, right? Because Romans 8:9 says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Some of these people talk about the second blessing and all these other things, and you get saved and later on you get the Holy Spirit. That's not true. Because Ephesians 1:13 says, the moment you believe, the moment you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And like I said, Romans 8:9 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to him. So these people say they get the Holy Spirit later, they're not saved if they don't have the Holy Spirit. And he's going to testify of Jesus. And how does he testify of Jesus? Through the Scriptures and through the internal witness as God speaks to our heart through those Scriptures, right? And he says, you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And he's not just talking to these disciples, he is talking to them. But you know what he's also saying? If we're his children, we're going to do what? We're going to bear witness, right? What did Jesus say? If you will not tell others that who I am, and you're ashamed of me and this sinful and adulterous generation, that I will be ashamed of you at my coming, right? And so the Old Testament, not the Old Testament, but in the old days when they first began to be saved and receive the Holy Spirit and get saved in the name of Jesus in the New Testament, what happened was the way people identified by doing this was what? They would do what? They would be baptized, right? And remember the eunuch, he's out there and Philip goes to him and God tells him, go find this man. And he's out in the desert and he goes, leaves this revival and he goes to this eunuch out in the middle of the desert and he was from the Ethiopia and he was reading Isaiah and he says, to whom does the prophet testify? And he began to explain to him the scriptures. And I want to be baptized. He says, you may be baptized if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He said, I believe with all my heart that he's the Son of God. And he says, let's go get baptized. Because that's the way they proved that they were new believers. Baptism doesn't save you, but baptism is a testimony that says, I have trusted in Jesus Christ. I am his child. I'm a child of the King. And because of that, we're going to bear witness. We bear witness the way we live, the things we say, the things we do, and especially when we're able to tell others about Jesus Christ and let them know that they need to be forgiven and saved too. And then he goes on to say in chapter 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. What's he talking about? He went back to verse 18, kind of. What does he say in verse 18 to 24? He talked about how they would be hated and the world would hate them and they wouldn't receive them. And we talked all about that last week, how sometimes as believers, that what happens? We're excluded from things. We're not invited. We don't go to things. And some of the things, a lot of things people do, we don't want to be invited to, right? But at least, I don't know how much of that can go on here, but you know, out there in the neighborhoods and places, you get invited to things or you don't get invited. And it's amazing how all these people, I guess, that live the way they do, they always find each other and they're always hanging out with each other. But they just, a lot of times, they don't have a whole lot to do with you. One of the ladies in my neighborhood one time says, well, I said something about being somewhere, or I came out to see this, and she said, yeah, you don't come out very often. She says, you usually back there hiding in your little hole over there. I'm like, well, what else am I going to do? I'm going to go hide in my little hole, because most of the time there ain't nothing else to do, because all the things y'all doing I can't be a part of, and I don't want to be a part of, you know. So I'm going to go stick in my little hole and hide from all the things that they're doing. And so he says he didn't want them to stumble, because he's telling them in ahead of time that they're going to be persecuted, they're going to be mistreated, they're going to be abused and used and spoken badly about. And then he says, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he does God service. He offers God service. So they put you out of the synagogues. And so today we don't really, you know, it's not as big a deal here as it is back in the day. But in the synagogues, remember, were the Jewish places of worship. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but every time a Jewish person was saved, you know what happened? Their family would do what? They would just disown them, right? I heard of somebody talking about this, and I don't even remember. It was somebody that I knew, and this guy was going to get baptized, and he was going to profess Christ. And his family says, if you do this, we'll have nothing else to do with you. You are no longer my son if you do that. And they wouldn't have anything to do with him. So this being excommunicated or kicked out of the synagogues, it was a serious business, because when you profess Christ, what did they do? They persecuted you. They avoided you. If you had a business, your business would probably go under because they wouldn't come to your place of business anymore. They wouldn't have anything to do with you. You remember we've passed that chapter 9. Y'all remember in chapter 9 when the blind man, he gets healed by Jesus. He gives two brand new eyes, right? And what does they do? They go to his mother and father and say, "Is this your son? And how was he healed?" And they say, "Yeah, this is our son. But how or what means he got healed, we don't know." And it says this they said because they were afraid they would be kicked out of the synagogue. And so they were worried more about the praise of men than they were the praise of God. It kind of parallels the passage I was teaching yesterday, and we've talked here before, about how they were not received Jesus because they loved the praises of men more than they loved the praises of God. And it says that several times in the book of Acts and the book of John, and it talks about how these Pharisees, some of them believed, but you know what? They would not follow because why? They did not want to lose the honor of men. They cared more about what people thought of them. And you know, I told some folks yesterday, I don't know if I've told y'all this before or not, but you know, I tell folks sometimes, my wife told me the other day, she says, "I know sometimes you say you don't care what people think about you." I said, "Well, I really don't, as long as I'm doing what God wants me to do. If I'm right with God, it doesn't matter what other people think about me. Because if I'm doing what God wants me to do, then your opinion doesn't count, right?" Because even Paul says, "I do not even judge myself." He said, you know, it's one that judges, and that's God. He says, "Judge nothing before the time." He says, I'm not under the judgment of anybody. I don't even judge myself, but it's God one day who will judge me. And he said, you know, if I'm all right with God, then that's all that matters. And you know what? That's all that matters. And so these people, they're going to kick them out of the synagogue. They won't be able to go fellowship with people. They will lose all their friends. They will lose their family. They will lose their means of support, their job or their business. That's what will happen. Now, today in America, that's not really a big problem. We can always find another church or another place to go to, or you know, it might not be a good one, but somebody, you can find somewhere to go to that somebody will have you. If people don't like what you're doing and you're doing wrong things, you can always find some liberal church that will accept you, right? But, you know, here it was serious business. And he says, "And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me." He said, these people are of the world. They're not saved. They're not forgiven. They will do these things because they're not of the Father nor of me. You know, right now, appreciate y'all pray. I got a situation going on with a neighbor too that, I tell you what, I just can't believe how mean-spirited and hateful they're being. You know, a few weeks ago I was told I was a godsend from the people that used to live in that house. And now, guess what? I'm not a godsend anymore. All of a sudden they're being hateful and spiteful, and it's just unbelievable the things that they're doing. I'm like, okay. And I don't even know that there's even any talking to them. But the things they're trying to do, the things they're doing, it's just like, it's unbelievable. And I'm just like really amazed what they're trying to do. And saw a little bit more of it yesterday. Told my wife, I think this is what's happening. And sure enough, I saw the evidence of it yesterday. And I don't know how this is going to transpire, but I'm trying to deal with it, and it's pretty aggravating, but I'm trying to trust the Lord and trying to figure out what to do. But you know what? That's the way the world is. And when the people don't know the Lord, and you know what the sad thing is these people walk around with these shirts that have got crosses on their back, and they don't even know how to be saved. They go to a church that does not teach salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone and grace alone and faith alone. They just, I don't even know that they go to church, but the guy works at the church, and you know, his bottom line is they are just being mean and hateful and spiteful. And so I just pray that you would pray with me for that situation. And that's kind of what they're doing. They're doing these things to you because they've not known the Father nor Him. He says, but these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. Jesus wants us and these disciples to know that when people mistreat us and when people do things that they do to us, that we need to understand and expect that's what they're going to do. Because you know what? The world can only do what the world does. They're unsaved people. They don't know the Lord. They don't know how to behave. They don't know how to do what's right because the Lord has not given them the ability to do right. They've sinned and come short of the glory as God, as all of us have. But we're saved, hopefully all of us here, by the grace of God. And we have been changed from the inside, right? What did Paul tell the Corinthians? He said, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexual, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor liars, nor adulterers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. And you know, the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God into salvation to make a drunk quit drinking, a thief quit stealing, whatever quit being whatever they are, and become a child of the King and be a person who can do good things through the power of Christ and live for Him. But remember, these people are going to do these things because they don't know the Lord. They don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. They are upside down, and they have an upside down mind. And it says, and these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. See, think about this. Jesus has been protecting these disciples. He's been taking care of these disciples for these 3 years. He didn't need to tell them all this stuff. He was protecting them and taking care of them and shielding them from all the bad things that were happening. Because it was all directed where? At Jesus, right? Because He was the one they wanted to get rid. He was the one they wanted to kill. He was the one they hated because He was the one that were doing all the things that were driving them crazy and showing them up for who they really were. But you know what? He's fixing to die on the cross. Remember, this is just a few hours before the cross. He's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be tried that same night. And this is that same evening, right? He's going to be tried that same night, arrested. And the next day, He's going to be crucified. So this is literally the night before His crucifixion where they do all these illegal trials. And you know what? Jesus wants them to know and us to know that when people act like they do towards us because we're Christians, expect it. But you know what the Bible says? Pray for those who use you and curse you and despitefully treat you. Pray for those folks. And pray that God will work in their hearts. God will forgive them. God will save them. God will change them from the inside out. Because until they're changed in here, they will never change out here, right? And it's the same thing with us. We can try all we want to, but until we truly get saved, we're not able to do the things God really wants us to do. Sometimes people can do good, but as one man described it, they can't do good good. Good's when people do stuff and they help people. But you know, when people do that, they always have a motive. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be praised. They want their name on a list or something on a rock or a stone or a brick or somewhere. I gave $1,000, so I got my name on this stone over at the church over there at the school because they built this church, or they got my name on this list. I'm a gold donor or a silver donor or a bronze donor. But you know what? when we know the Lord, we do the things we do because we want to please Him, not because we're trying to please anybody else. And so I hope and pray that you'll remember that over time and just ask the Lord to help you as people don't always treat you like they ought to, that you would pray for them and pray that the Lord will work in their heart and change them, and that He would be glorified, and that God would lead you and guide you if you get an opportunity to speak to Him about the Lord and tell Him who He is and what He's done for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We thank You for all this information that You've given us, that we know as a child of the King. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. But Paul said, this is a momentary light affliction which works a far more exceeding weight of glory. And he said in Romans 8, 18, that the suffering of this world is not compared with the glory which we'll have in heaven. And we thank You that because we are Your child, that You said nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, this is the worst it will ever get for us, Lord, because this is not our home. We're passing through, and one day we'll be with You. As those songs said that we were singing earlier, this place isn't my home, but I got a place in heaven one day. I don't know about a mansion, but I got a shack. I got a dwelling place. I got a place. And as long as I'm there with You, Lord, that's all we need. And that's what we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, John says for 22 chapters, he says, Jesus is coming. And in the last chapter, he says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's my prayer every day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, I hope y'all have a great rest of the day. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you, both now, today, and forevermore. Amen.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, and a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free, and these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.